5. Jake felt something furry against his ankle and looked down. Oi was crouched beside him, looking more anxious than ever. Jake reached down and cautiously stroked his head, as much to receive comfort as to give it. Its fur was silky, incredibly soft. For a moment he thought the bumbler was going to run, but it only looked up at him, licked his hand, and then looked back at the two new people. The man was trying to help the woman to her feet and not succeeding very well, her head craned this way and that in avid confusion. The man named Sai had cut his palms on the cobblestones, but he took no notice. He gave up trying to help the woman, swept off his sombrero, and held it over his chest. To Jake, the hat looked as big as a bushel basket.
"We bid ye welcome, gunslinger," he cried. "Welcome indeed. I thought all your kind had perished from the earth, so it did."
"I thank you for your welcome," Roland said in the high speech. He put his hands gently on the blind woman's upper arms. She cringed for a moment, then relaxed and allowed him to help her up. "Put on your hat, old-timer. The sun is hot." He did, then just stood there, looking at Roland with shining eyes. After a moment or two, Jake realized what that shine was. Sai was crying.
"A gunslinger! I told you, Mercy. I seen the shooting iron and told you. No harriers?"
she asked, as if unable to believe it.
"Are you sure they ain't harriers, Sai?"
Roland turned to Eddie, make sure of the safety, and then give her Jake's gun. Eddie pulled the Ruger from his waistband, checked the safety, and then put it gingerly in the blind woman's hands. She gasped, almost dropped it, then ran her hands over it wonderingly. She turned the empty sockets where her eyes had been up to the man.
"A gun," she whispered. "My sainted hat." "Ah, some kind," the old man replied dismissively, taking it from her and giving it back to Eddie. "But the gunslinger's got a real one, and there's a woman got another. She's got a brown skin, too, like my dad said the people of Garland had."
Oi gave his shrill, whistling bark. Jake turned and saw more people coming up the street, 5 or 6 in all. Like Sai and Mercy, they were all old, and one of them, a woman hobbling over a cane like a witch in a fairy tale, looked positively ancient. As they neared, Jake realized that two of the men were identical twins. Long white hair spilled over the shoulders of their patched homespun shirts. Their skin was as white as fine linen, and their eyes were pink. Albinos, he thought. The crone appeared to be their leader. She hobbled toward Roland's party on her cane, staring at them with gimlet eyes as green as emeralds. Her toothless mouth was tucked deeply into itself. The hem of the old shawl she wore fluttered in the prairie breeze. Her eyes settled upon Roland.
"Hail, gunslinger, well met."
She spoke the high speech herself. And like Eddie and Susanna, Jake understood the words perfectly, although he guessed they would have been gibberish to him in his own world.
"Welcome to River Crossing."
The gunslinger had removed his own hat, and now he bowed to her, tapping his throat 3 times rapidly with his diminished right hand. "Thank you, Sai, old mother." She cackled freely at this, and Eddie suddenly realized Roland had at the same time made a joke and paid a compliment. The thought which had already occurred to Susanna now came to him. This is how he was, and this is what he did. Part of it, anyway.
"Gunslinger, you may be, but below your clothes you're but another foolish man," she said, lapsing into low speech.
Roland bowed again. "Beauty has always made me foolish, mother." This time she positively cawed laughter. Oi shrank against Jake's leg. One of the albino twins rushed forward to catch the ancient as she rocked backward within her dusty, cracked shoes. She caught her balance on her own, however, and made an imperious shooing gesture with one hand. The albino retreated.
"Be ye on a quest, gunslinger?"
Her green eyes gleamed shrewdly at him. The puckered pocket of her mouth worked in and out. "Aye," Roland said. "We go in search of the Dark Tower." The others only looked puzzled, but the old woman recoiled and forked the sign of the evil eye. Not at them, Jake realized, but to the southeast along the path of the beam.
I'm sorry to hear it, she cried, for no one who ever went in search of that black dog ever came back. So said my grandfather and his grandfather before him. Not airy one.